93.5 The Tap.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Released in a prisoner swap with Russia last year, U.S. Marine veteran Trevor Reed is now recovering after being injured while fighting in Ukraine. CBS's Wei Zhejiang.
In 2019, Reed was arrested in Russia, accused of assault, and then released last year as part of a prisoner swap for a Russian drug trafficker, a deal that President Biden brokered. Reed was released before Paul Whelan, another American who has been detained in Russia since 2018. His brother David said, "I can't imagine the anger, vengeance, and grief that hostages must feel."
The State Department says Reed was not acting on behalf of the U.S. government. Striking SAG-AFTRA members take their fight to New York's Times Square. They're asking for better base pay increases, residuals with streaming TV, and AI protections. Actor Bryan Cranston.
We ask you to hear us, and beyond that, to listen to us when we tell you we will not be having our jobs taken away and giving to robots.
A big screen star is urging people to get screened.
Terry Crews reprised his role as
Dwayne Elizondo, Mountain Dew, Herbert Camacho.
From Idiocracy to help raise awareness about colon cancer prevention.
Hey, doctor, you the guy.
You comfortable?
I'm comfortable, man.
The PSA is from a group called Lead From Behind that encourages people to get life-saving screenings.
The goal is just to figure out whether you're at risk. It does affect black men more than it affects other men.
Crews may have been acting, but doctors found real polyps and removed them.
You're in the recovery room.
Monica Ricks, CBS News.
The extreme heat blanketing much of the nation is having an impact on traditional summer fairs in Elkhart, Indiana. A 4-H gathering has prompted fairgrounds manager Shelley Story to have first responders on hand.
All you have to do if you have an emergency is call 911 while you're on the fairgrounds, and we can have somebody to you right away if you need extra assistance.
A scary incident involving the son of NBA superstar LeBron James. 18-year-old Bronny James, a freshman on the USC basketball team, suffered a cardiac arrest during a campus workout yesterday and was rushed to a hospital. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti.
It's unclear why Bronny went into cardiac arrest, but doctors say if treated immediately, patients can make a full recovery.
James is stable after leaving the ICU. Chicago Blackhawks owner Rocky Wirtz has died at age 70. He won 3 Stanley Cup titles as owner of the Blackhawks and presided over the team when an outside law firm found that the organization badly mishandled sexual assault allegations made by a player. The team calls Wirtz's death a sudden passing. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Monday through Friday at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters. More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
It's so hot. Wait, now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media weather team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. This time of year, the world's busiest airport is Oshkosh. During the Experimental Aircraft Association, EAA Air Venture. 10,000 airplanes fly in, typically 600,000 people visit, spending $170 million. Big numbers worth celebrating considering EAA started in a Milwaukee basement with a little more than 100 people 70 years ago. EAA runs through July 30th. Keep an eye to the sky if you're in the Oshkosh area. Daily air shows start at 2:30. I'm Terry Barr.
I saw it go. Who's the most fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers? I saw it go. Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
I saw it go. You can always let us know if you are drinking with lawmakers at 844-967-2789.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
How do you plan to stay cool? Both in the short term, as in like the next 10 days, but also in the long term. I'm interested in anything you've read about or are already investigating as far as long-term technology that is being explored of how the hell we're going to keep ourselves cool in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years, because I am bullish on humans' capacity to come up with new technology. I am less bullish on our human capacity and political will to do anything to curb how hot the world is getting. And so that there's one that I feel like is probably inevitable, and our ability to come up with ways to live with it is much more likely than our ability to actually keep it from happening. 844-967-2789. How do you stay cool currently, knowing that it's going to be very hot these next 10 days? But also, is there anything out there that you've read about that you think is interesting technology and interesting advancement that will keep us not even cool, but just not dying from heat?
That would be nice.
In the future. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Jane Matnair, how do you stay cool?
I stay in the house.
Okay.
Which is, I mean, we're fortunate. We have air conditioning. When I think of people who live in apartment buildings that have no air.
Or old houses.
They don't have the ductwork for it and all that stuff. With a little room air conditioner. I don't know how they do it. The one trick I heard about, and I've never tried this myself, but if you have a little fan or a box fan and you take a couple of bottles of water and you freeze them, and then you can like zip tie them to the front of the fan.
Okay.
That's something.
Something.
But I mean, we all know how hot it's been in Arizona, right?
Well, I mean,
it's insane.
It's interesting because I feel like every day it's in the news of how hot it is. Like in my roundup of, Washington Post, like seven top stories, Morning Brew, 1440, like all of my like crowdsourced, like here are the things you need to know today that I read every morning and prep for the show.
Right.
For the last 2-3 weeks, every morning there's at least one story about the heat.
Well, I grabbed something from the CBS Morning Show from today talking about the conditions currently in Tempe, Arizona.
Even quick contact with the ground here, which can hit 180 degrees, may cause first-degree burns. And at the Arizona Burn Center, officials say more than a third of the beds are occupied by patients with surface contact burns.
Think about that.
From the sidewalk?
Yeah. 180-degree sidewalks. Yeah. So I guess if you trip and you fall, you're going to get a first-degree burn.
I mean, how are people getting in and out of their cars? Because think about like a hot car on a hot day if you forget to park in the shade and, you know, the way it feels on the back of your legs because you're obviously wearing shorts because it's hot.
I can't even imagine. I really can't. And I have a brother. One of my brothers and his family is in Phoenix, outside of Phoenix. And I want to say in January, we were on the phone and he was talking about how lovely it was because he was in the backyard sitting by the pool. And I said, well, that's all well and good, dear. Let's talk in August and see how you're feeling then. And I don't think that they expected that it was going to be this hot for this long.
For this long. I mean, this was as of, was this yesterday? This was as of July 19th. Heat has killed at least 18 people in Arizona's Maricopa County so far this year. There's 69 more deaths that are under investigation. And the county is one of the few that has revamped its reporting to ensure heat deaths are accounted for. So that's just the fact that they're reporting it compared to other places that aren't reporting them as heat deaths. But, you know, over 250 million people are set to experience heat indexes over 90 degrees in the coming days.
That's most of the country.
And this number, I don't know if this is the world or this is the country, but here, let me see if I can make that. Oh yeah, this is the country. So this is even talking about Europe and
right.
Other places that are also dealing with this. But this week will be the summer's hottest so far over the lower 48 states. By Wednesday and Thursday, all but the Pacific Northwest will see above average temperatures, and that includes Wisconsin. So we, you know, so far, Wisconsin's actually been, our summer's actually been like a degree, like less than usual.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So while much of the southern United States has been suffering through record heat wave, temperatures in Wisconsin have been below average this month, despite a statewide drought. But those mild temperatures in the state may be coming to an end as the hottest conditions of the summer are expected to move in this week. So once again, I ask you, knowing that it's going to get really hot, how do you plan to stay cool? 844-967-2789. I guess for some people, it's just, you know, for when you're lucky enough to live in a place that has air conditioning.
But
that's the answer.
Think about all the people who work outside.
That's, yes.
Postmen and roofers and landscapers and...
Postmen, you said.
I mean, delivery drivers.
And this is why the part of the UPS strike is so insane, that the fact that they have for so long have had trucks that don't have air conditioning in them.
At all.
And so that, but then, you know, and like, it's what they always say, right? Check on elderly, like the people in your life who are older, kids, making sure that they are staying cool. And so that being the most vulnerable to this kind of heat, you know, staying hydrated, don't like drink your face off outside. But I'm also interested in just like this, you know, this also could be the coolest summer we have ever in for future.
That's terrifying.
Isn't that terrifying?
Yes.
And it's interesting. What is interesting though, is so far the power grids in a lot of these places have been okay.
That's amazing.
And that's, so, you know, the California, so PG&E, which is the California utility company, and they would be able to meet heightened demand for electricity this summer. While the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, which is known for being not that reliable, hasn't asked residents to conserve electricity since last month, even as power demand hit a new record last week. And So it's, you know, why is this potentially happening? There's several reasons why power grids are holding up during the heat waves of this summer. California's record snowpack in the winter has given a major boost to hydropower.
Oh.
In May, hydropower produced more electricity than any month in the previous 3 years per California's grid operator. So, one, renewable energy. Another reason, in renewable energy powerhouse Texas, solar capacity is more than twice the amount installed at the same point last year.
Oh, wow.
And recently expanded battery storage in both states can be tapped as an emergency lifeline when the power grid is strained. So,
because Texas is kind of an island unto itself.
Well, they have their own power grid
when it comes to power. Right.
Yeah. I mean, they unlike other states, they manage and maintain their own power grid.
They don't share.
No. And so, but also that's the same story in Europe so far, as Europe's electricity systems are coping with the heat, which is a good thing, obviously. But it's also part of that is because it's not traditional electricity that is being reliant. It is being able to hydropower, solar power, and being able to rely on different things. So it goes back to my original question of, you know, the rudimentary layperson of right now of like, eat popsicles. That's my go-to.
Get a freezy. Get
of
a freezy.
How do you stay cool? But I'm really interested in what people are hearing as far as bigger plans of how we're going to manage this. Because, again, this is not going away.
Well, and then we have to take into consideration the water temperature. Because I believe the water temperature right now off the coast of Florida is 93 degrees.
Is it still?
Yeah. And so we're going to have mass bleaching of corals.
Yeah.
Which is a critical life system within our seas and our oceans. Are we all going to be walking around in refrigerated suits?
Well, and that's the thing, because it's one thing, you know, like the ability to, for most of us to say our answer is, oh, we'll just stay inside. And not everyone has that luxury.
Exactly.
Like there is a homeless population. There, like you said, there's people who make a living by working outside. There's people who live in places where air conditioning isn't an option and you have fans and maybe, you know, individual units. But I just think it's interesting as far as what people are working on to try to make this a habitable place in the future. And so either way, if you have any hacks, heat hacks, that you'd like to share with people for how to get through the next 10 days when it's going to get super hot, we would love to hear from you. But also, if there's any interesting technology that you've read about that you think is interesting, I have some that I'm going to get to on the other side of the break as far as maybe going underground, maybe making everything look like Santorini, which wouldn't be a bad thing.
Oh, Santorini is beautiful.
You know, white concrete? I don't know.
Try and reflect the light.
Yeah, exactly. 844-967-2789. We will take your texts and your calls on the other side of the break of how do you beat the heat for both today and tomorrow. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed Group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, warm, and muggy tonight with thunderstorms developing late and lows in the upper 60s. Storms linger Wednesday morning, then sunny, hot, and low 90s for the afternoon. Sunny and hot Thursday, high mid-90s, maybe some storms late. It's 82 right now.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
The Paul Revere Show, Greg Mastantuono, guest hosting for Mark Thompson. We're on AM 540, 101 FM. And welcome back. Fire and Police Commission recently resigned Chair Ed Filone. Ed, welcome back to the show. I guess you had your won't back down moment last week, like Tom Petty.
It was a tough decision to resign, but when they take away the power to do good, you sort of ask yourself, you know, well, then why should I stay?
So what did that look like for you and Vice Chair Amanda Avalos reaching that decision? Because it couldn't have been one that you reached easily.
No, and we did not act immediately after the governor signed the bill. I had individual one-on-one conversations with each member of the commission. There are 9 of us. And people were all struggling. All my colleagues were struggling with what's the best way to react. Is it resign? Is it stay? You know, what's the path forward if we do stay? The majority of the commissioners decided to stay and try and fight on for progressive policing and civilian oversight, but recognizing that their hands, you know, they had one hand tied behind their back. But for Amanda and myself, it really was the fact that elected officials really had no choice but to vote in favor of the sales tax. And that was intended all along to sort of prevent there being any public scrutiny of this by co-opting government leaders in Milwaukee who needed the money.
It was a bitter pill, right? It was a loaded pill.
And so you're not going to hear the mayor point out all the negative aspects of this law. You're not going to hear the Common Council do it. And so Amanda and I felt someone had to. And so that's really what drove our decision.
Was the decision effective immediately? Are you now resigned from the FPC?
Now resigned, but I'll point out, Amanda and I specified our resignations became effective at midnight following the last meeting of the term for the commission. So we served on our last meeting. We elected a new chair, Miriam Horowitz, and new vice chair, Dana World Patterson, who are great individuals. We made a bunch of promotions, a bunch of decisions, and went off into the August recess with all the work done. So we didn't leave our colleagues in a lurch. We took care of business, and then we walked off into the sunset.
Well, I got to tell you, I commend you for taking a stand. You know, this is in one fell swoop, you know, loading in to a funding sales tax, you know, revenue bill, taking out of local control from a body that has exercised local control over fire and police policy, hiring and personnel issues for 135 years. One of the oldest in the country, correct?
Yes. Yes. And one of the most powerful in the country. It was a breathtaking assault on self-government for the city of Milwaukee. And they felt they could get away with it and people would be afraid to speak out.
You know, my experience in criminal justice is that when laws tighten things up and go tougher on crime in the legislature, they're almost always impossible to undo, even when everybody agrees they should be undone, like lowering the age of majority for criminal prosecution to 17. Now we're an outlier. We're one of three states, I think, that has that age for majority of criminal prosecution. Do you see a similar future for this, this bill that took away local control for fire and police?
Yes, Craig, I do. Because the politics makes it so hard to run for office and support progressive change in policing, even though progressive policing is demonstrated by the data to work. I mean, what's the biggest factor in closing open cases when there's shootings or crimes? It's either witness cooperation or tips. Take those two things away, the crimes don't get solved nearly as often. And when you have a public that is suspicious of police, view the police as an occupying force, they don't come forward as witnesses. They don't make tips. Now we see through community policing, through efforts by Police Chief Jeff Norman, who I'm a big supporter of, to gain trust in the community, we see tips going up. People are being witnesses. They're calling the police proactively. Please come. Here's this person who's a bad guy. And the crime rates are coming down.
Couldn't agree.
You can't explain that and run on that as a candidate. The only thing you can run on is we got to throw these people in jail. Vote for me. I'll keep you safe. And that's what they want to do in Madison and Speaker Voss and the Republicans.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, healthy communities with, you know, reduced crime has a relationship with its police force, maybe not in every single instance basis, but largely that is mutually trustworthy, and police are seen as an asset to communities by the residents that they police. And when you get away from constitutional requirements being adhered to, you really get away from that trust right away. And I fear that that's been a problem that has grown worse over the pandemic years in Milwaukee and was starting to be restored. And this is a huge setback. What does the future look like, do you think, with the commission moving forward?
Well, I think, you know, if I had stayed, I would have asked my colleagues to focus more on soft power, which is pay more attention to hiring and promotion, making sure that we get the people in leadership roles who share our philosophy. As opposed to hard power, which was simply to say, hey, you know, this is the direction we want the department to go, and we'll let you go there, Chief Norman. But if you don't get where we want to be, we have the ultimate say to push you over the line. And that's how we got complete ban on no-knock warrants. The police chief wanted a substantial ban. He wanted no-knock warrants to be rare. We said, no, we're going to push you over the line to a complete ban. And having that policymaking power allowed us to do that. Just relying on soft power, it's a much more difficult job.
It's going to be a difficult road ahead for the Fire and Police Commission. We're coming up on our time to a close. Fire and Police Commission Chair, City of Milwaukee, Ed Filone, recently resigned. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you for your tough decision. I know it couldn't have been easy. Appreciate you joining us.
Thanks, Craig, and thanks for helping spread the word to your audience.
You bet. Take care, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, bye.
Coming back on the other side with Shannon Ross.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Trevor Reed was hurt while fighting in Ukraine. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre with the latest on the former U.S. Marine who was released from Russia in a prisoner swap last year.
With support of the NGO, Trevor has been evacuated to Germany, where he is receiving medical care.
Strike averted. UPS will keep delivering packages. The company reached a tentative deal with the union. WSBT-TV's Tyona Baxter.
UPS CEO Carol Tomei described the situation as a win-win agreement that overall helped the company and the U.S. economy avoid a crippling potential blow to the nation's network.
Climate change is to blame for all this excessive heat.
A new study by a group of international scientists finds extreme heat swells now burning much of the U.S. and southern Europe would be virtually impossible without climate change.
That's CBS's Nicole Skanga. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The Supreme Court threw out affirmative action.
In a lengthy dissent, Justice Sonia Sotomayor spoke at length from the bench, in so holding the court cements a superficial rule of colorblindness in endemically segregated society where race continues to matter.
Not anymore, Robert says
we're good.
It doesn't.
We're good. You can talk about how racism has impacted you in your life and other spots of the admissions.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Professor Schwaber, what grade would you give the Supreme Court for their interpretation of the law?
That doesn't really work. The grade ordinarily would be how accurately and thoughtfully and carefully have you interpreted, you know, existing precedents. I tell you what, though, if I were teaching a course in, let's say, logic, and I was asked to grade this work in terms of its coherence and its rigor, a high D.
Wow. A high D.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes. 93.5,
The Tap.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up.
This is the Paul Revere Show. Greg Mastin, you know. Filling in for regular host Mark Thompson. And our second guest tonight is Shannon Ross from The Community in Milwaukee, which is a civic nonprofit organization whose particular mission is focused on changing the narrative regarding the criminal justice system, the people involved in it, and their return to the community. Shannon, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me a little bit about The Community, how it got started, and a little bit of your backstory.
Yeah, so the way I got into this work and the cause, the origin story of The Community is that I spent 17 years in the Wisconsin prison system. And while I was inside, I got my bachelor's degree in business administration. I had a blog for like 5 years. I helped design and manage a coping skills program that still exists with a friend of mine who's still incarcerated. And near the end, around 2014, we started this newsletter called The Community, and just slowly went to become the most widely read publication in the Wisconsin prison system. And after I got out, I got into this other idea I had that I had pitched to people when I was inside. I didn't really care who did it. I just felt like the narrative around our population wasn't given the amount of attention that it should be. And so when I got out, kind of slowly started this part of our work we call correcting the narrative. And so at this point, we have our pre-entry work, which is still the newsletter, and this learning platform that we're designing for folks across the country who are incarcerated to get the highest quality content about any career field. And we have our Correcting the Narrative campaign, which is showcasing the successes, humanity, and agency of people that have criminal records in a variety of ways.
Well, thank you for your work. I want to say something and get into some of these topics. And what I wanted to say is that most of our listeners don't know that my regular practice day gig is a criminal defense lawyer in the criminal justice system. One of the things that I often tell people, because you get the cocktail party question, right? How can you do that? How can you represent somebody if you know that they're guilty? And what I always tell people is, are you kidding? That's a boring question. Okay. First of all, most of the people that I represent have oftentimes done either some or a lot of what they're accused of. And that's, you know, there's no moral compunction that I have, a problem that I have at advocating for somebody who's made a bad decision. One decision or a series of decisions even sometimes doesn't define you. The worst things that you've done don't define you. You're defined by your life. And if you have people in the room, in your office, in your conference room, you listen to who they are and what they did and why. And, you know, I don't have a moral issue with, you know, representing people in our criminal justice system, trying to see them through to a better day. And so your mission of correcting the narrative, you know, talking in a way about people as if they're not solely the worst thing they've done or among the worst things they've done really hits with me, because I try to do that with people all the time. Say, you know, it's easy to judge people when they're on paper or when they're just, you know, a headline in a newspaper, but sit in the room with them and their families and watch the repercussions of their actions be contemplated in the justice system. What motivated you, or, you know, so that's what motivated me. What motivated you to think that the narrative needed changing? How did you arrive at that method of your efforts?
Yeah, I can't really tell you how that came to be. I always am amused when people can very clearly indicate how they got to one place in life. I've never been able to do that. I've always struggled. And I think maybe because I overthink things potentially, but I think a big part of it is that when I was inside from my, you know, my dark dungeon, ebony tower that I sometimes call it, because I was just looking down at the world, looking up at the world, whichever you want to call it, and just kind of thinking about how things were going and what was missing. And it seemed to me, I don't know when this happened, but I had a thought about the way we always go to politicians to get them to vote for things. And we always say, let's policy advocate, let's push for change and get the president or the governor to change something. And time after time, I would see that happen. And then I would find some way the community would then, you know, just undermine it. So it doesn't matter if you pass something, if communities are just going to find a way to make it, you know, null and void. And I saw that in prison constantly, where it doesn't matter what Secretary Carr says. It doesn't matter what the warden says. It doesn't matter what anyone who's a high level person in the system or even the state says. The guard on that unit for that 8-hour shift or that 12-hour shift, they are God. Right? They're getting whatever they say and however they want to operate. That's what's going to control the environment. So came to me that we need to start doing a lot more to just talk to folks that are not the high level, but are just the day-to-day operations folks. And that's your neighbors, that's your coworkers, that's your local politicians. Maybe they can't change state policy, but there's little influences and things start to just happen and snowball in a good way. So that just kind of, to me, stuck out as something that was missing in all this work that I was seeing happening.
Well, there's a lot there. We're here with Shannon Ross from The Community, talking about what goes on inside and outside the walls of Wisconsin's prisons and returning citizens from those prisons. You know, Shannon, people are fascinated by this. Most people do not have the experience of being inside a jail or inside a prison. You talked about, you know, the guards on your barrack or your unit inside the walls. What does that look like when it's going well? And what does that look like when it's going bad?
Yeah. So something I immediately think of when you say that is when I first got out, I was on some social media platform. It was called Clubhouse. Some people might know it, might not. And there were a bunch of younger college students, sometimes mostly folks that never had been incarcerated at all, talking about how terrible the system was and abolition, and how somebody made a comment about, yeah, they were investing in prisons. And somebody made a question about they could, like, by investing in private prisons, they could control who gets hired and make sure that good guards are hired. And this one woman says, there's no such thing as a good guard. And I thought that was remarkably naive, because a good guard or a good staff member can do more than a $1 million organization out here advocating. Because that good guard has a touch point with so many people inside who have very little good touch points with other staff or other individuals inside that are stable or know, you know, where they're trying to go and how to help folks. And so I've seen good guards be remarkably impactful in the lives of folks inside. A lot of people who are out here right now would tell you, if it weren't for some good guard that gave them a pass on something or helped them out in some case, they might not be here, right? So
no doubt.
I think that is a very key insight to the way the system is, that it's not black and white. It's not like you're a guard, you're bad. We need good people in the system, because if we don't, who's coming home? The 95% of people that are coming back, who's coming back if there's no one inside to be a support or to be a stanchion of positivity and growth for them? So, yeah, I think, like, for me, it looks like good staff, when it's going good, are allowing you to grow and to make mistakes and not just give you remarkably heavy, over-the-top punishments because they can, right? But being patient and talking to you. And so when it's bad, it's the opposite. No one cares. They don't care if you're struggling, and they don't care if you get a whole lot of time in the hole or, you know, sent off for something that you probably shouldn't be. Get another chance. Yeah.
Situational problem solving is like every second of the day inside a congregate setting. I mean, my experience as a consumer, right, of the justice system is walking into jail, usually jail settings, and not as often prison. I'm going to be at a prison later this week. And you're absolutely right. When the staff members, the guards, the supervisors are trying to problem solve, help people get access to their lawyers, get records to the right place, try to facilitate programming, it all goes better, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say one thing that stands out always is that a lot of the best staff members had to borderline or actually break rules to be human, right? To be humanistic, to be positive and helpful. And so that's also another commentary in the system, is if, you know, to actually be very helpful, a lot of folks had to risk their jobs. And so it's interesting.
Yeah, we're here with Shannon Ross from the community talking about life inside and outside Wisconsin's prison walls. Shannon, I've seen your work in terms of the video vignettes that you've done around the narratives of some of the people that you've worked with who have reentered our community as returning citizens. So I'm going to ask you to share your website in case people want to go and look at some of these. Where can they find them?
Yeah, thecommunitynow.us. Yeah, we have pretty much all our videos are on there, but we have our YouTube channel, social media. So I would ask that people follow us there as well. It helps the algorithm think we're important and we get to more people.
Absolutely. And how are your efforts growing? How are people, you know, I've become aware through my own work of you and your work in our community. You and I have paired on at least one education project involving Wisconsin's circuit court judges. And petitions for sentence adjustments where we presented, right? And to Wisconsin, a large portion of Wisconsin's judges with participation by other justice professionals from University of Wisconsin and Judge Carl Ashley in Milwaukee and others in the system. And so I'm aware of this kind of growing network focusing on reentry and returning citizens and formerly incarcerated persons. Where are you feeling kind of the activity, the additions to your efforts coming from?
We've been having national interest because of some things I've gotten involved in. I'm kind of a little aggressive about connecting outside of the state, which sometimes doesn't make sense because people outside the state maybe can't impact the state as much. But I think that's it's just not that simple. A lot of times outside influences can either bring support or resources that we can then use in here. So, or at least a lot of examples of what's worked in other states. So I found that to be one area where we've been starting to get interest. Also in the state, like I just was at Monroe County on Saturday for an affair that they had. And so it's just kind of bit by bit. I trust the process. I trust the system of getting the word out slowly. It's not always like, what's the biggest event to go to? Like, I'm only going to be there. sometimes it's you lean into people who really, you know, want to be involved, and that strength of those small numbers can just have a very odd way of increasing the resources, increasing your ability to have outreach in an effective manner. So not only that, inside, we've had our newsletter go to everyone in the prison system a couple of times in the past 6 months. So we've just had ways to reach more people. We just hired a full-time staff person that, you know, is going to manage a lot of our pre-entry stuff. So we now have four staff people, right? Paid staff. Whereas of January, we had none. So there's been, you know, it's been an interesting past 6-7 months of growth for us in reaching more people and getting more capacity within the organization.
When you talk about pre-entry, you're talking about people who are about to return to the community from a prison setting, correct?
No, we're talking about anybody. The second you get into the system, if you have a life sentence even, we want to reach you. Because to go back to the earlier question, what's not understood a lot of times is we forsake somebody who has a life sentence and a lot of the work that I see because they're not coming home. Because reentry is the sexy thing. That's the thing that gets funding. But that person that's a lifer, they're oftentimes, like that good staff member, going to be one of the very few good positive influences on someone who's inside. And so everyone in that environment, we need to be helping, like soil, have a garden that can have people coming home who are healthy and have, you know, grown in a way that we need. So lifers are just as important as people coming home in a year.
That's a really important point. So the newsletter, I assume, aims to try to make people, you know, to make their time at least easier or more productive, or give them information that would be helpful. Can you talk about some of the challenges that face people when they enter a congregate setting, like a prison setting, often for the first time?
I think,
can you do that in a minute before the break, Shannon?
I think when a person enters prison, the number one thing that takes over is stagnance and the hopelessness. And so those two combined make a person not want to do anything or just go the opposite direction of where they're going to be eventually, which is back in society. And so how do we, through the newsletter, give people opportunities, resources, guidance, and empowerment to combat that stigma of, not stigma, the stagnants and the hopelessness, to come home, you know, where we need them to be?
Right. Yeah. And so what are the things that you, what are some of the things that you suggest or provide through your newsletter?
It can be opportunities for ways to make money inside through art or writing. It can be resources for folks when they come home, support groups for loved ones. It can be news about what's going on in the system, because there's so many myths, and inmate.com, as it's called, is always on the prowl for misinformation. So a lot of times it's just a matter of saying, we're here. Somebody's here. Somebody's listening, you know, and you're not like forgotten or just, you know, disregarded.
You mentioned that your newsletter is going to everybody in the system now twice. Are you getting more support from DOC administration, Department of Corrections?
Oh, no, not at all. No, I would say in the sense we're getting more support is that we have a good relationship and they're not denying it. But I mean, there's no like financial or making it easier support in a sense.
Got it. No, I didn't think there was financial support. I just thought that there might be a kind of facilitation or cooperation with some of the efforts that you're trying to make.
Not exactly. A little bit. It's. I would say no, but kind of.
Okay. All right. Well, Shannon, we're coming up on a break. And what I want to do on the other side is talk about entry back into the community from congregate settings, some of the challenges that people face. We're here with Shannon Ross from the community talking about crime, public safety, criminal justice, and life inside and outside of Wisconsin's prison walls. And we'll come back on the other side and learn a little bit more about struggles of reentry.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Showers and thunderstorms becoming more likely the closer we get to sunrise. Mostly cloudy skies overnight at 70 degrees. Those thunderstorms end by about mid-morning Wednesday. Then we'll see skies turning sunny. We'll top out near 91 by the late day. Right now it's 82.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Paul Revere Show. This is Craig Mastantuno filling in for regular guest Mark Thompson, talking with Milwaukee's Shannon Ross, director of the community, an organization that seeks to change the narrative surrounding persons in the criminal justice system. Shannon, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You, the community has an event coming up at the end of the summer. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's our third annual Correcting the Narrative celebration, highlighting unrecognized success stories in the system-impacted community. Every year, we choose 8 organizations that are involved in reentry reform, decarceration work, and they choose people, or each organization chooses one person that they want to have honored. There's no nominations. It's not an award show. It used to be called that, but I didn't like that concept because you're not getting an award and you're not waiting to find out who won it the night of. So everyone, all 8 people already know who's being honored in there. They have 5 formerly incarcerated people, 2 crime survivors, and John Tate, the former parole commissioner for the DOC, is also being honored that night.
The commission chair, yeah. My fellow law firm members had the privilege of attending the event last year and were inspired by the stories of the people that you presented through these organizations last year. And you know, hearing these stories and people's struggles and how they overcome, you know, returning to the community and being productive is just something that I would say to our listeners, if you haven't listened to somebody describe that or seen some of these stories, you know, you're really missing out. Probably think you know some things that maybe you don't realize. Can you tell us or share with us some of your insights about, you know, people's stories, and when you get somebody one-on-one or in an audience like is present at your event, by the way, which is filled with people from across the criminal justice system, decision makers all the way up to Secretary of Corrections Carr. I saw there last year, members of the judicial community, our judges, prosecutors, lawyers, advocates, community members. People really listen to people's stories. And what is it about that they find out? What happens when we hear a fellow human being saying, I struggled, went to prison, and I'm in the community, and here's what I'm dealing with?
Yeah, I find that the answer to that question for me is kind of the seed of why so many things get off the rails in society. And that's when things get difficult, we want to walk away, run away, cuss somebody out. We recently had a youth retreat where on the youth retreat, something happened that was very harmful. And we all came together the next morning with the youth and we had a circle and we talked about it. And the person who engaged in the behavior that was very harmful had to listen to everyone talk about how difficult and how frustrated and angry and just sad that everybody was towards that person. And they were held accountable in that sense because they had to deal with what happened and they apologized and we collectively came together, made a decision to, you know, move forward together. And so that's proximity, that's coming together instead of separation. And so that's what happens so many times for folks when they hear that story, is you are getting closer to the human being and you're realizing this person is actually kind of a mirror, right? It's not, you know, a window into something that I thought. When you stand away from a window, it's a window. When you get closer, you see yourself. So that reflection comes up. So basically, just hearing stories shows how similar we all are. And it makes it harder to hate and to look away and to not care about other people's issues.
Yeah, it's really easier to make snap judgments about people when, you know, you hear a portion of a story. Well, he stole from somebody. Well, he shot somebody. And people say, well, that's it. They should go away and lock up, you know, throw away the key and lock them up. And that's it. And then you get to talk to these people and their families. And you think, oh, this is a human being that, you know, like you said, maybe I'm seeing a reflection of my own mistakes or my own worst decisions or the, you know, privilege that I've had. Another thing I find that in my own practice is that most of my clients successfully overcome their mistakes. We only see the repeat failures sometimes as criminal justice professionals, prosecutors, judges, and lawyers. And we forget that for every 10 cases, 8 people walk in and out of the system and resume a productive life. Do you find that with the people that you're working with as well?
Yeah, that's something that I hate about this recidivism statistic that we always throw out as the barometer for success and everything. And so we find that, then you, without going too deep into it, but the data doesn't really collect the success stories as much as it collects the repeated failures. Like you just said, it's uneven balance in what we're seeing and what's showing up in some of the data. But in my personal experience, I know a lot of folks that have come home that I was incarcerated with, and by and large, the people that I was in with are still out here. And they're struggling sometimes, they're doing well sometimes, they're just like anybody else, right? So I find that to be like a well-known secret for those of us that were formerly incarcerated or in this work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And also just that, you know, there's a point in time when you don't need to be guarded around people that have struggled areas of life. I was talking with another criminal justice professional about somebody that I helped secure release from prison and who has become a dear friend. And I was trying to tell this other professional how well they're doing. And they said, well, how well? I said, well, I'd let them watch my children. I'd let them watch my kids, you know, like just to be demonstrative about how much I would trust this person as another member of my community. Right. I think we find that hard to believe until we see it up close and in person, how people can overcome their mistakes and inspire others to do the same. And that's kind of at the heart of what you guys are trying to do. Is it hard to keep up, you know, your mission, and both from a financial structural standpoint and community acceptance?
I think financial, you know, it's just recently gotten better. We went the longest time with no one making money. So I think we're in the glory days right now of our organization because we got some funding. But in terms of like keeping up on the other side of it, the hopelessness kicks in, right? I mean, when you're doing this work, when you're doing heart work and you're seeing, you can't avoid the news sometimes. You can't avoid driving through the city and seeing the despair that exists. And sometimes it feels like this problem is so massive that we're doing, we're engaged in. It's all community work. It's all different forms and fashions of community work. But I think just kind of focusing on the area that you are and impacting that space and hopefully learning lessons that other people can take from. And this collaborative project we have on the South Side is going on to do some of that. There's ways to combat it. You just got to stay ahead of it because it's going to seep in, the hopelessness at times.
Well, you've only been around a few years and you're making a great impact. Tell our listeners again, we're here with Shannon Ross from the community. Shannon, where can our listeners go to find out more about your organization?
Yeah, it's thecommunitynow.us.
I would encourage people to go there and find something out about Shannon, the community, their mission to change the narrative around people who have been involved in the criminal justice system. It's really important work. And can people get involved in the event that you were telling us about on August 31st?
Yes. So you can get involved by purchasing tickets, attending the show, which you can find on our website. And I think we're good every other way on that, unless you want to donate to the event or, again, just follow us on social media. That also helps.
I would encourage people to go. If you want to see an evening of inspiration, August 31st, the community event, you'll see things that you haven't seen before. Shannon, thanks for joining us. Shannon Ross from the community. I'm Craig Mastantuono. Mark Thompson will be back next week on The Paul Revere Show.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.